realms of Senith.
It's Peter Luckyfoot, and I'm not going to keep this damn accent up very long because it'll turn into English soon.
Gotcha.
Well, to do my best, see, it's already morphing because I can't do accents. But here we go. I'll be back.
The adventurers managed to take Bainder, and now it's Mordville. And Mord is staying there as mayor, and he's going to kind of officiate the city. So that's why Kid is switching to a different character. Mord's now an NPC, available for quests, etc. The current quest he has for everybody is he kind of has an issue with Bainder coming back to him every day, like rejuvenating himself and attacking him. So he has to have like bodyguards around him and fight him off every day.
So he has a bit of a recurring pest problem.
Right. Only it's like a recurring mummy problem.
I'd say that's enough of a pest.
Yeah. I mean, you need more than, what is that called? The something man? What is that? Starts with an O. The guy that fights like rodents and pests in your house. Orkin, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he needs something better than that. So that's why he has you adventurers looking into it at this point. I think Erevan was saying he's going to go to his home city, kind of check in there a little bit, and check the Grand Library that he studied at. See if he can find any information about mummy lords and what kind of powers they have that would allow them to rejuvenate. Well, now she can't hear us. She's still working on her audio. If you're trying to talk, I still can't hear you. Have you switched to push to talk on accident?
Dude, I got evasion at level 7.
Because your character, Maeve, was part of the original march onto Bainder with all the guards and common folk that kind of joined in to try to take the city from all the undead. So Maeve was actually at Bainder for, well, Mordville now for some time. At least a few days it took to take it.
So now she's just casually meandering to the library with them.
Well, that's up to you. You don't have to go with anybody, but that's totally up to you.
Nah, she can go. Because listen, I don't think I've ever played a level 7 rogue in 5th edition, so I've never had evasion. I'm pretty excited.
Okay.
Doesn't even care where we're going. She just wants to play a level 7 rogue.
Look, I'm really good at jumping out of the way of danger at this point, so why wouldn't I?
Man, audio issues suck. Pole's been having them pretty bad, too.
My audio issues happen in my throat.
I just realized Olita, when she was doing all the money for the purchases in Elkwood, she was using dollar signs on it. That's cute. I mean, why wouldn't we, I guess, as long as the base amount is known. Is your audio working now? Can you still hear us at least? Oh, I heard something.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you now.
Yay!
You didn't have it low enough.
That was not the problem.
Yeah, I lifted it up and I pushed it down.
You what?
I don't know.
Sounds like Nick was dropping it like it's hot.
And then somebody else picked it up?
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe he was talking about Rabbit's Chipotle bag.
All right. So all of you have left Mordville. Peter, you're the bard that was offered, right? You were offering from Generic and Morid before you went into the city. Is that correct?
Yep.
So actually, the other adventurers, that'd be all of you, I suppose, would have actually casually met Peter. Is that how you say it, by the way?
Peter, yep.
Peter. All right, so joining you on the road would be Peter, Maeve, Olita, I think you said that you would go with everybody. You weren't going to go off on your own adventure, right?
No.
Okay. Oh. So all of you are heading to Erevan's home city of Karest. I'll type it out in a minute. And is there any introduction or conversation that Peter would like to make on the road? Like, because this would be the first time he's had a chance to actually hang out with, I guess, the A-team of the King's Adventurers.
I'm just happy to be here, you know. Been on the B-team for a while, you know, minor leagues, if it will, but I'm ready to go. I got a song, I got a dance in my step. You know, these rabbit's feet are lucky if you rub them. That's what they say. Don't cut them off. Happened to a cousin of mine. He has a peg leg now.
That sounds unfortunate.
It was, but he's now a pirate, so I guess it worked out.
As for the city, most of you would have heard of this city. There's only a few large cities in this region. There's Elkwood, that you've been to quite a bit. Brogaine, that's across or on the other side of the mountains, past Baindir or Moradville. I'm gonna have to keep remembering that. And there's Karest, and there's like another city in the south, but most of you aren't that familiar with that one. Karest is in like a heavily forested area. It's like the elven region of Elkwood's influence, let's say. And is there anything, Erevan, that you feel is important to tell the adventurers on the way there about the city, or just gonna kind of awkwardly silence your way to the city?
Nothing super important comes to mind, no. They are a little suspicious of magic users, but I doubt that'll be too much of a problem.
There's, even though this is like an elvish region, there is like a dwarven influence here. So a lot of that suspicion would come from, that lineage, let's say. So yeah, you get closer to there. What you would see for the city is that as opposed to Elkwood, which is mostly like, maybe a little ironically, Karest is built mostly out of stone and mason. As you get closer and closer to the city, you can actually see that there's several towers here. One of them, Erevan, you would know to be the Grand Library. But there's some other towers that are there. There's some fortifications. As you get even closer, you can see that there's like drawbridges, like your typical castle setup. And inside are like the villagers and stands right on the main stretch of the road that goes into this entrance or the gates to the city. I was going to contrast this to Elkwood, which I was going to say is most of this is like stick, or most of that city is like stick built and very almost like druidic there. They're very proud of being like Elkwood. This city, on the other hand, is very proud of like mason work.
And also like being fortified, like their defenses. Probably pretty militarized too, maybe.
This is a city that's nearest to the southern region, which is hostile to both the elves and Elkwood. So think of like more Lord of the Rings, where, what's that city called? It's not Rohirrim. The one right on the edge of Mordor. Anyways, it's very, very well defended. There's guards everywhere. There is commerce going on. You don't see like anyone with any sense of impending doom or any frantic movements or anything. That it seems like business as usual at the moment. And you do see a good mix of elves and dwarves that are going about their business. Elves seem almost like they're visiting the place and doing business there. You don't actually see like elvish villagers per se yet, but. Yeah, you make your way into the city. Is there anything anybody specifically wants to do?
I don't think so. Erevan's first priority is to get to the library.
Okay, so yeah, you make your approach to the library. You know exactly how to get there. You've been here to this library like hundreds and hundreds of times. So you know how to, you know, even know like a back way to that, to skip some of the busier parts of the city, like the bazaar and, not the bazaar, but the bazaar. I think that's how you pronounce it anyway.
Is that a place we'll want to stop to shop at some point, get new supplies?
I'll leave that to Erevan to answer.
We probably do need some supplies, like maybe just healing potions at the very least.
Yeah.
Okay, so, sorry, hold on one second. Apparently I need to clear my throat. So, yeah, like Erevan said, the city's kind of, a little suspicious of magic. It's not, like, completely absent here, but, more so than anywhere else you've been, you see most things are done in a mundane sort of way, very medieval looking. You see blacksmiths working on, you know, weapons that are obviously not magical to those of you that might be familiar with it. You've actually been kind of like on a high magic adventure. You've gone to the Fey Forest, you've fought werewolves, and you've done all kinds of stuff. So this is a little different, a little more down-to-earth place. As you get into the main shopping area of the city, you would see that most of the healing stuff here are done with like alchemy. Like there's herbs that people will gather and sell, and you see people selling, like merchants selling to merchants different wares and whatnot. Yeah, you can find healing potions. They're just like all the other healing potions that you're familiar with. They'll do the same mechanically, but it shouldn't be an issue to find any.
So what is the reception like toward half-orcs?
To your half-orcs?
Such as Maeve.
Okay, you do get some looks, but you're not seeing anybody that's... No one's, like, attacking you or anything like that. it's Erevan not the is, warmest.
Erevan is probably pretty well-known in the city, so I'd say... Maeve being in the same group as him, they probably tolerate her.
Yeah, Erevan is wearing, most of you are familiar, are just used to this at this point. He's wearing like symbols on his clothing that indicate he's part of the Grand Library's scholars group. So pretty much everybody in the city recognizes him. They're kind of like, I wouldn't say like a replacement for like priests or something to that effect. It's just everybody knows he is like a sage. Or at least working to be a sage.
So and if I were to wander off from his side and snoop around, like just check things out and make sure nothing suspicious is going on while he's in the library, that wouldn't be too much of an issue, or that would be an issue?
I don't know. Maybe I have to give you my badge of approval or something.
Well, it would depend on how you're looking. If you're looking to blend in completely, I'll need you to do like a disguise or and or a stealth check.
Hey, like how suspicious were you thinking of being?
Oh, nothing suspicious. I'm not looking to like steal anything or whatever. Just mostly want to like peek around and like check out my new surroundings.
Yeah. So like I was asking, how would you do that? Just go in boldly, or would you try to like? You would feel like if you wanted the most information, you would have to somehow blend in a little bit better.
So like just pulling up my hood probably isn't enough.
Well, covering your face, for example, you know, I don't know, like a disguise kit to kind of make yourself look a little more probably human, but it's up to you. I'm asking how you want to do this exactly.
I was consulting my skills and kits and stuff to see how I would want to do it. Can you use a disguise kit even if you're not proficient?
Yeah, you just don't add your proficiency bonus, if I remember correctly.
Are you going to try to use a disguise kit?
Well, I don't want to draw too much attention to myself, and I'm not really looking to be super shady or whatever. It's just a thing that I would feel more comfortable doing is checking the place out instead of just blindly following around, behind the native. You know what I mean?
Sure. We could do that before you head in, and... I'll play you a wonderful montage melody while you're doing your disguise kit.
While you're asking.
Give you bardic inspiration to your chick. You had a D8 if you're going to do it.
Okay.
That's pretty powerful.
Now I can't not do it.
Not with the montage music. You're the best around.
I was going to say, yeah, that'd be, without doing it at the end, it would kind of ruin the Disney song that's happening.
Do you roll the D8 or do I do that?
I think you do.
That is not bad for the first roll I've done in months. 17 plus the 7 plus what skill is that?
I would guess it would be dexterity.
Did you all level up to 7? I just remembered that was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's a 27.
Damn.
Yeah, that's really good. And you're not proficient in disguise kit, you're saying. So
I didn't have proficiency, just dexterity.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's... you're pretty convinced that you've just had, like, that Disney makeover we're just talking about. Like
the bird's turning in to help me?
Well, I mean, that's the Karate Kid. I mean, do you know karate now? That song from Karate Kid? The best around. Nothing's good to ever keep you down.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little fighty now.
Yeah, there you go.
So you disguise yourself as a boxer, I guess. I don't know.
No, I don't. That's an internal moment. That's how I feel, not how I appear.
I don't do that at all.
I look like a girl next door is what I look like now.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so you're... You're pretty confident that your disguise is going to get you past most guards, most everything you need to do. What are you investigating specifically? You said you're looking for threats?
So I've, like, anytime when I go someplace new, I just want to like poke around and find out who's who and what's what and what's where. And if anything were to go sideways, what would be the quickest route of escape and so on, things like that. Just poking around and checking things out in a basic, generalized way. Maybe have some conversations with some of the, like, you know, stall owners or something like that, but just like in a friendly chat sort of way.
Okay, go ahead and roll an investigate check at advantage from your disguise and from the bardic inspiration you're getting, the girl next door disguise.
A very inspired disguise.
So that looks like a 19.
All right, so one of the first things you find as you're going through this, like the back alleys and talking to stall or merchants at the stalls, and you would find that there is definitely a thieves guild here. You run into a fencer, or a fence, I should say, not a fencer. That'd be something else. So you find a fence who will buy and sell stolen magic items in the city. Apparently, you come across the fact that this city is kind of used as a, I want to say like a transport for magical items. You're not entirely certain why, considering the information you learned from Erevan that, you know, that magic is kind of frowned upon in this city. But your quickest guess is that no one really comes here looking for magic items. And maybe that's why some are stored here and sold and marketed. You find several smugglers. You find a broker, an information broker. And you find that there are collectors in this city of artifacts, not magical artifacts per se, but like just historical relics, I suppose. And they're willing to pay quite a bit on the sly. As you're looking about and or kind of look into that even, you realize that there are a lot of prominent families here with ancient... hold on, I got a message. Okay. I guess I used the wrong word about frowned upon. Erevan sent me a message. He's like, that's not what I meant at all. Not frowned upon, but it's more like regulated and controlled. So what was I saying? So there's prominent families here that will, that like to have collections and stuff. So that's something that you might want to kind of keep in mind as you're going about the city and adventures in the future. Because this is where you'd want to go to offload illicit material and items, both magical and not. But you're not really finding any specific threats to you or your party that you're with at the moment. You're not finding any bounties on your heads. You're not finding, you're not hearing about any, let's say, like, rules that you think you might break that will get you in trouble with the guards. Most of the city operates in a pretty familiar way to all of you. Is that the kind of information you're looking for?
Yeah, girl next door had a busy day.
Ironically, I'll add that you find a disguise artist in the city.
His name's Dana Carvey.
What do they think of my disguise?
They didn't even know you were disguised.
I'm also a disguise artist.
Turns out.
Nice.
So Lita said she wanted to do some shopping for potions, I believe.
Shopping in general, but I was the one who said, like, at the very least, we should get some potions or something.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. I thought she was talking about shopping potions specifically, but you're right. Yeah, so the prices aren't that off from anywhere else you've been. They're a little more expensive than if you got them in Elkwood, because you have, like, a discount there. Here, people are going to just sell them to you at cost.
Well, maybe I can persuade them to sell them to us with a discount.
How are you? Like charming or something? What's that?
Don't you think I'm kind of charming? I think I'm rather dashing. See, this accent's going to be a little wonky for a while. Or all the time.
Charisma.
I'm a pretty big fan of the Australian.
I should just do that, yeah.
I thought you were a rabbit, not a kangaroo.
Do you know that in Australia... Fuck, I don't know. You know that in Australia that rabbits, like... overrun the whole place. They're like an invasive species.
But kangaroos are the stereotype, so you know.
Yeah, but there was more rabbits than kangaroos. So do I have to register these fingers as deadly weapons, Erevan? Because I can shred with them. Start playing a lick.
What the hell? Yeah, I think you're I think you'll be fine for now.
Oh, let's go shopping then.
Sure.
So you find plenty of potions of healing, greater healing, supreme healing even, or superior, I think, right? Is there something specific anyone's looking for other than those potions of healing?
Not sure I would know what to look for.
I mean, are you looking for items? Are you looking for like basic adventuring gear, like a backpack?
I mean, have a bag of holding. And well, I have a backpack, I think. I don't.
So not looking for storage.
I don't know, maybe just something interesting.
Yeah, I think we already have like bags of holding or whatever. Those black packs.
You're from here, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you could show us where the interesting things are.
Maybe.
Or not.
Or I could.
Oh, hey, you're back. Where's the interesting stuff? Erevan doesn't know his own city.
I mean, there are those collectors. Although, I mean, they're probably hoarders, so good luck with them.
Well, I like a good thrift sale where you have to dig through the stuff and find the treasures within.
Oh, hey, did I manage to recoup my spyglass at some point? I think that was the last session I was part of, was I had to give up my spyglass.
Yeah, that would have been given back to you. I think that was Diamond. Okay, Alita, go ahead and roll for me an investigation check as you're looking for something interesting.
Stick. Okay, 17.
Okay, now roll me a D10.
That was not a 10. Hang on.
Looks like a UFO.
Oh, okay. I got the double zeros.
Oh, damn.
So it's like really bad, isn't it?
That's like a 10. No, that's a 10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a...
Or if you got... if you get zero on both dies, that's 100.
Yeah, that's a 10 on the single die. So between yourself and your shopping there and Maeve's knowledge of the black market here, you actually find a bit of, you find yourself with some access to magical items here, and that's what you're rolling for. You find a gauntlet that is magical. The broker that's willing to sell it to you, because you've went to basically just outside of the main shopping area and are speaking to someone that's coming out of an alley. Maybe it was like, hey, come talk to this guy, see what he's got. He claims, or he says to you that this is a magical gauntlet and it will enhance your strength.
Okay, sounds cool.
Probably pretty good for a monk, I'd say.
He says, I can let it go for 6,000 gold pieces.
So the gauntlet's like a glove. Is that going to be interfering with my bracer, the bracers of defense? Can I wear both of these things?
So this would be like a hand item.
Does it look like Michael Jackson's glove?
No, there's two of them.
Like two Michael Jackson gloves?
Yeah. Okay, fair enough, yeah. I thought he just wore one glove is why I said that.
He did, but okay. I'm just trying to make it fit my narrative.
So can I, who's got the most charisma in the group here?
Right, that's me, definitely. Quite likable.
Possibly. Charm this guy into a better deal.
But could be Erevan, I guess.
Yeah, Erevan has a +4.
Oh.
I don't know what everyone else has.
Yeah.
I've only got two.
Go to bed, kid. I also got a +4.
Nice. +4 charisma gang.
But my persuasion is a +10, because bard bullshit.
Well, I mean, my persuasion is a +7, so close enough.
Persuade him with your overly charismatic self.
Yeah. I think there's a couple missing rhinestones here. Do you think that'll affect its overall performance and long-lasting, durability?
He shakes his head no. He's like, these are legit pieces.
How could I know for sure?
Rhinestones are just purely cosmetic.
But they look enchanted to me, sir. Maybe we can knock a little bit off the price.
Over cosmetics? These are magical items.
Hey, the overall look matters a lot when you're using your intimidation. I should know. I'm intimidating.
roll an intimidation check, then.
But I'm not intimidating, I'm charming. So.
Let's roll an intimidation check.
It feels like it's going sideways.
Hi, charming. I'm Erevan.
I'm intimidating.
I rolled a 17 on the die, +5.
Charming. I'm charming.
+5 for a 22.
Okay. I got to counter roll that.
I like how you started with, I have a plus 10 persuasion, and then you're like, I am intimidating.
I didn't say I was good.
How much did you say you had? 17 or 20 something?
22, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he didn't even come close. He says, look, I get it, you're adventurers. You know yourself, you want to look good. Okay, fair enough. You can back off, though. Yes, you're very charming as well.
Thanks. I smooth back my ears.
He looks at all of you for a moment, and then he says, how's 5,000?
That's a good discount.
Well, hopefully you come and purchase more items from me in the future. So I suppose this is kind of an investment into that, into a business relationship, a charming one.
Charming. What's your name, partner? Tony. Fuck you, Tony.
Maybe. So Mae would kind of know that's not appropriate to deal in names with this guy.
Oh, okay.
I like clear my throat and, you know, patch your furry little head a little bit.
All right. The black market. I forget. I mean, black market. I'll get it.
We'll call him Tony.
Tony. I like Tony.
All right. So, yeah, 5,000 gold pieces. You'll hand it over.
All right. I'm going to take some out of my own, which is not enough to cover all of it, and some out of the group money.
She just reaches into all of your pockets.
She's carrying all the group loot, right? Or
yeah, I think so.
Before, yeah. I guess it would be in your bag of holding, so I don't know that anybody could really tell.
I mean,
Peter wouldn't know.
I just let you know, so I mean.
She's like, hey, by the way, you guys are fronting me some of this, yeah? Yeah. Good talk.
Which thing had our, I can't find it now.
Adventuring log would have the group
Adventure
stuff.
Log. Okay, there we go.
I think we've been putting like Michael Jackson in there, but that's okay. Just hi.
Did you just say that Michael Jackson is in the adventuring log?
Yeah.
Yeah, go look. Adventure log.
Oh, I see. And the rhinestones. Yep, I see.
Okay, so when you hand over the gold and he hands you the gauntlets, you can write down for yourself that you've received the gauntlets of Forceful Grasp.
Okay.
And while you have yet to test all of the stuff on it, the description is it allows you to perform feats of incredible strength, such as lifting heavy objects, breaking through barriers, or delivering devastating melee attacks.
I'm trying to figure out how to add it.
For now, you can probably just put it in your inventory section. It's a custom item.
Okay, custom item. Equipment? Is that what it counts as?
Yeah. It will require attunement.
Okay, and your description was?
I did post it into the venture lock. It's
Oh, okay.
So he takes the gold, checks it, makes sure that it's the right amount, and then hands that to you, gives a bow, and he starts to kind of fade back into the alley and leave. Anything else that people want to look for in the city, or moving on to the Grand Library?
I think we're moving on to the library.
All right. On approach to the library, Erevan, you recognize that there's a couple guards that are standing outside the library. That's not unusual to you. They just kind of eye you as you get closer. One of them starts to open the door for you, and the other one kind of holds his hand up as if to say stop. And you actually recognize this guard, and not by name or anything, but you've seen him before. And he looks at you and he says, "You're Erevan. Haven't seen you in some time."
Yeah, I've been busy making friends.
Last I heard, you were sent to Elkwood to speak to the king on behalf of the library. How have you fared?
I've fared well, thank you kindly. I did speak to the king, and hopefully he has sent or will be sending the financial support that I requested from him.
He nods and says, yes, we have received considerable assistance. There's actually some construction going on inside the library, and some recovery efforts are underway for some of the scrolls that have become too old. And he kind of looks and back at the other guard and motions for him to go ahead and open the door. He says, well, I hope you find what you've come here to look for.
Well, thank you for that.
And he smiles and stands aside. I'll roll an insight check, Erevan.
Hold on. Oh, that's a 7.
All right, yeah. So that's you see him kind of nod and smile to you and stand aside, and the way into the library is opened. For the rest, for all of you that have not been to like a grand library, there are. Has everyone seen Game of Thrones? No?
Yeah.
Yes?
I've seen it.
No.
No. Okay, so there are like levels and levels to this library that you can see up in the center of the room. It's an open all the way to the ceiling. And at the top of the ceiling, you see several mirrors set up and light is shining down. And that's what lights this entire tower. Circling the walls of this tower going up are several floors, several levels of just endless amounts of books. In the center of this ground floor, you see a large desk that's set up. There are books piled on this desk, but you see in the center of this circular desk are several what you would guess to be librarians that are going through these books, and you can see that one of them is copying from one book to another. You see another that looks to be sorting through books, and you see another librarian that kind of peeks his head around the pile of books to see who's coming in, and he stands and kind of walks towards the doorway as all of you are walking in. Okay, Peter just posted basically what I was trying to describe.
Yeah.
So Erevan, you actually recognize this man.
Who is he?
You recognize him as Thronebook. I'm sorry, Thronebrook. This is a dwarf, actually. And he walks up to you and says, "Ah, Erevan." And he puts his arms out as if to embrace you. "You have come back. I see your representation to the king has gone well." And he points to all the construction that you can see that is going up, or going on up the tower.
Erevan looks like kind of amazed by just like how much has changed just from the, I suppose, relatively short time that he's been gone. I think it's been a short amount of time, maybe like a few months at most, right?
Yeah. You'd see that there are a lot of workers that are currently repairing the structure. They're kind of hidden because they're next to the wall and, you know, on angles, right? You can't see all of them, yeah. But you'll see them from time to time coming to the edge of the floors. And you see that there's a lift nearby that's lifting stone up, and there's stone, like old stone, broken, chipped stone that's being removed from here. They're just rebuilding this tower in place, it would seem, which to you is kind of amazing because you thought you thought it would take a lot of magical effort, but they seem to be doing it all mechanically. Thronebrook says to you, "What may I ask brings you here so soon? I heard that you're in the employ of the king as his royal sage."
"That is true. Yeah, we're just here looking for, well, information. I suppose that's sort of the reason why you would visit a library."
"Not the reason why you would. You've spent many hours here, sir."
"Yeah.
Just cruising.
It's not exactly common information that we're looking for."
"Oh, well, you know me. I'm the master of uncommon information. How can I help you? What do you need?"
"Music section, please."
"Right up there. That's very common, though. I suspect that's not what you're looking for, Harifon."
"I'm looking for the uncommon song, sir. I'll go check it out myself." And I jump away.
"Oh, bye. I didn't even catch his name. Who was that, Erevan?"
He's someone we picked up along the way. His name's Peter.
Peter Rabbit.
Yeah. I'd say just let him do his own thing. He won't damage anything, hopefully."
No, I suspect not. I suspect you would not bring such, you know, riffraff into the library that you've grown up in. So he's looking for uncommon songs. He seems to like kind of stop and start thinking about all the songs he's looking for. "I haven't seen a rabbit folk before. I've read about them. What's it like to adventure with one?"
"I have no idea just quite yet. He's still a bit of a new addition to the group."
"Oh, you see, he looks a little disappointed." "I see. Well, he's looking for uncommon songs. You're looking for what?"
"Information on mummy lords and
abilities
that they possess and or may possess."
Yeah, that's quite specific. That would probably be down in the religious section. You're looking for dark arts, though. Mummy lords, making mummies, and their lords. Yeah, you know where that is, but I'll lead you there. Come on.
Yep.
And who's the rest of this illustrious party of yours?
More friends.
They can
do as they please for the most part as well. If they want to follow us down to the religious section, they can do that. Or if anyone wants to do any research of their own, that's fine as well.
Alita Elvra, nice to meet you. I'll join you.
Alita, you and he looks at you. Like, are you visibly an Azamar, or have you like also hooded up?
Oh, I guess I hooded up.
Okay. So you wouldn't see your wings and your, what about you would stand out, you think? Or would there be nothing that stands out?
I mean, I might be tall compared to them.
You're very tall, miss. And you, lady? And he's looking at you, Maeve. Who might you be?
I'll extend a hand and be like, his name is Maeve.
Good to meet you, lady. You're also very tall.
Mostly just here to manage the fribbles.
Yes, and he leads you to a doorway that starts heading into a basement area. He starts talking about his time here at the library, and just how long his family's lived here, how long they've worked at this library, just telling stories. And eventually, it leads you to you would guess about three levels down from this tower. And out from this tower, interestingly enough, into like a dark, almost like a dungeon area. And he says, well, this used to be when this tower was, you know, first built, this was built as kind of like a jail cell. So it's going to look a little strange down here. So here we are. This is the main cell with all the dark arts we have for religious stuff. Now, you're looking for... What kind of mummy? A mummy lord, right? But, like, do you know which god? Do you know... kind of describe this mummy to me, if you will. Maybe we can narrow down where you're looking.
Do we know, like, which god? Or is like, Bander the god? I don't know.
Do you say that out loud?
No. I'm asking you. Like, do we know the information that he's asking for?
The answer is sort of, yeah.
All right, well, I'll tell him what I do know about Bander.
While they're going around and, like, having their discussion and he's doing his tour or whatever and telling us all about stuff, I'm kind of going to, like, hang back and wander off, check up on the rabbit and poke around a little bit in here, same way I did out there.
Okay.
Just announcing, not asking you to, like, go off and do anything for me at the moment. Just saying I'm not going with them.
Okay. So, as you're describing Bander to him, eventually I imagine you would say Bander.
Yeah.
And he would say, oh, that one. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, you want to look over here. That's a dwarf, right?
Is he?
Bander is a dwarf, yeah. One of the early adventurers set up this town. He fought a dragon of that mountain over there, where Bander is, anyway. Yeah, so this is all the information that you would probably want to look at. This section right here, and he kind of leads you to kind of the back of the room. He says, actually, one of these books has been checked out. I think someone from the king, from the royal court came and was looking through this section recently, now that I think about it.
Interesting.
But I think we have a copy of it anyway. Good luck. That's a dwarven god of greed, by the way. Yeah, there's quite a story to Bander. And he starts trailing off. He's like, yeah, I don't like this sort of area. This is kind of a weird place to be for me. And kind of hear his voice trailing off in the hallway as he's leaving.
Erevan will just kind of be like, yeah, I feel you, buddy.
Gives me the shivers.
Well, I wouldn't be here if I didn't need to be. I'll tell you that much.
So... I think Alita stays with you to look through the section. And I think you both have the research skill.
Yeah.
So very quickly, you find like general information about mummy lords, one of them being the rejuvenation ability. I'm not sure how much you as players know about liches, but they have the ability to also rejuvenate. They're basically wizards that turn themselves into undead through various sorts of magics and very dark and cruel things they have to do.
So is it possible that Bainder has like a phylactery and everything like liches would, or is it just a similarity?
Well, their powers, as you're looking into Mummy Lords, come from their gods. So it's more like a divine lich. And yes, you do find that what happens is they preserve their hearts in a box that they have to basically feed souls to.
So does that mean we need to find his heart?
Yep. So far as you can tell, looking through everything, is that you're looking for his heart, because that is what allows him to rejuvenate himself near it. And he's able to teleport to Morid, as you're looking through the different abilities mummies have.
What is it specifically about Morid that lets him teleport to him?
Well, you're not sure that it's specifically Morid, but he would be able to find Morid, you'd suspect, as you look through the different divine spells that he would have access to. He can find out where Morid is through... Or you would think that he could like basically scry on Morid, find out where he is, and teleport to him.
And maybe it also has something to do with the fact that Morid was charmed by him at one point, which probably gave him more information about Morid.
Some deep familiarities, yeah. You also do find that one of the biggest abilities of the mummy lords would be their charm effect. Alita, as you're reading all this, you would remember how alluring it was to the vision he gave you, like how you had to really pull yourself out of it before you gave in to his drive, I guess. Remember that will save you had to do in combat? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like he would make you promises and whatnot. So, yeah, that's one of the things they're also known for and something to watch out for.
Sweet nothings.
Basically, yeah.
Find some good music.
Yeah, go ahead and roll an investigation on Peter.
Oh, sweet. Investigation, huh?
There is more that Erevan and Alita find, but I'll come back in a moment.
4.
Yeah, you're too busy just playing all the... you basically pull the first book off the shelf and start playing it. So okay. You haven't even gotten to the uncommon stuff yet.
This probably the first book, which is like considered common, probably uncommon to him, maybe, is what's going on here. He's just like, whoa, this is new.
Yeah, fair enough. Is that maybe what you would agree with? Or
yeah, I mean, there's some songs that I know, but some other songs I don't know. Well, I haven't heard this one in a long time, and start playing it.
Somebody goes in here.
Somebody goes, aye. You fucking prude.
roll for me a performance check.
Okay. I got a 16 on the die, plus 10, 26.
Jesus Christ. All right, yeah. Anyone in the main tower, that would be Maeve, I believe, would notice that the music seems to inspire everyone to work faster. Like, the workers that are working on a tower are working quicker. They're kind of on pace. They're marching to the beat, and they all kind of start joining in and singing the lyrics along with him, because it isn't an uncommon song that he's playing. They all know it, but he's playing it very, very well. And it turns into something of a chorus of singing in the tower.
There once was a man from Nantucket. I'm not going to continue that one.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
That was on Drury Lane.
All right, and then we're going to cut scene back to Erevan in the dark library.
that's why I decided to follow the rabbit, by the way, just in case he incited any sort of issues while we weren't looking.
Dyson info, Erevan. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. I'm listening to the Queen of the Damned soundtrack, like, in the background here, so...
Oh, yeah, that's a good soundtrack. All right, so Erevan and Alita, you find a bit of information specific to Bainder. So you know that he was an adventurer, but you're finding that there were other adventurers that traveled with him that helped him fight that dragon, most of them fell. And one of them kind of sticks out to you as, if you may recall, when you were first going into that dungeon below the temple, there was that dwarven statue that asked for help. You find his name in there. He was a prince of a dwarven city who assembled that adventuring group that ended up dying fighting the dragon alongside Bander. And you find information that he is... Bander himself was actually born somewhere distant to that prince. But you actually recognize his real name, which would be Banefoot.
He's like off-brand Bander.
Bander himself, you believe, was Banefoot back when he was adventuring.
Interesting. Okay.
So did he maybe die to the dragon but turn into a mummy?
You do not think so. It's believed that he was actually the only survivor of that fight against the dragon. It was a red dragon that used to rule that mountain in the surrounding area that they went to attack. And that red dragon had many minions that they had to fight through. And it's a pretty dramatic story, but it's a lot more, I want to say, like a historical look at the fight instead of like a dramatic look that you would have seen in the temple itself that almost didn't make sense, just talking about amazing feats of heroism and etc. This one just talks about the actual fight.
Yeah. If it was a red dragon, especially if it's like an ancient one, not surprised that most of them died.
Yeah, it was, from what you can gather, it was a large fight. There was the party was pretty large. Company. It was a large company that tried to take this dragon on. Very powerful adventurers, but they almost all fell except for Banefoot, who then laid claim to the mountain himself. Now, the reason why you would recognize Banefoot is that's actually a name that's still a clan name that's still used by dwarves in the city you're from. So in Karras, there is a clan Banefoot. So yeah, that's information you gather from this place, is that you're looking for his heart, his clan name, and Peter knows how to make workers work. Apparently, as you're hearing rumbles from upstairs and beat.
I should talk to them about making him a supervisor or something. Have him play music.
He even knows the Muffin Man.
That's the best quality of any supervisor, yes. If you know the Muffin Man, you're perfect for the job. Yeah,
proving it's all about who you know.
Oh, also, Alita and Erevan, there is a stat block for mummy lords, right, that the DM usually would have access to, but you as players and basically characters would have access to that now as well. So if you want to metagame that, you can, because you've done a lot of research at this library on mummy lords.
We did the thing. Yeah, so... Do you think it's possible, or at least would Erevan think it's possible from what he's reading, that maybe if there's still members of Clan Banefoot in the city, maybe they would know something about Bander, or at the very least, who he used to be?
You're not sure. If Erevan wouldn't know that for sure. He would just... I'm sorry, what was the question exactly? What was the first part of it?
Like, if there's still members of Clan Banefoot...
There's still members, yep.
Yeah, if they would know anything about Bander.
Okay, yeah, you wouldn't know if they would know anything about Bander, but dwarves generally, they're lore-centric. They love telling stories.
Yeah.
So passing on knowledge from one generation to another, it comes quite naturally to dwarves. So if there is information, they would probably be the most likely to have it.
Yeah, that might be another thing to investigate at some point.
Would there maybe be a history section on that clan here in the library?
Probably on the upper levels.
So Erevan leads you to the Dwarven clan area. as you come out of the Dark Arts area, you would see the same sight that Maeve had of all the workers happily singing and marching along and working.
Well, isn't this just wonderful?
We're going to do it as a round. All right. You start over here. You start in just a second. Not yet, Nancy. Not yet.
Get a little beat in my step.
You know, with him around, my disguise doesn't even have to be all that good. Nobody is paying attention to me.
Some people's stars are just born to burn bright, my dear.
Well, I see you increasing the efficiency of the workers.
They just need a little pep in the step.
Oh, my God. If it works, it works.
It's boring to sit here and look at paper all day when you can sing and dance and wiggle while you work, if you will.
Well, it does appear to be working. So keep doing it, I guess. We're just going to keep looking at books.
All right. So you get Alita and Erevan, you get to the clan history section of several different dwarf clans. You do find the Banefoot clan history, but you see that it's a very old one, and it isn't updated with newer things that have been going on. Even though Erevan, you do kind of know the name, but you don't know prosperous Banefoots. As you're opening this book and as both of you are going through it, you see that the Banefoot clan actually has something of a disastrous history. It started with the collapse of one of their main mines and losing several workers there, which kind of led to the abandonment of the Banefoot halls, which even in this old book, it talks about how the halls stand in a state of disrepair and are abandoned. And it talks something of like a curse on the Banefoot clan.
Yeah, I suppose that adds up.
Even in their most prosperous times, there was something of a curse that was, you believe, from a rival clan that was put on these dwarves, that they have accidents and misfortune that comes upon them in their most prosperous times of their lives.
And why was this curse put on them exactly?
The books that you're looking at don't say. They just mention a rival clan.
Seems like they put a healthy dose of salt in that curse. Yeah. Seems like Bander was, going through some shit. So that makes sense. He doesn't seem exactly mentally stable, for a mummy lord.
Most mummy lords are devout followers of their gods, so that he was given eternal life as an undead creature. He has acted quite loyally to his god of greed, which would, in your mind, I would imagine, kind of explain why he wants Bane, the city, to be prosperous and why he has sights on such large, taxes.
And that's why he was trying to collect tribute, and why he has all these zombies and mummies and other undead as laborers, pretty much. But yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, Erevan will keep looking, seeing what he can find. He will also, he collected some books from Bander's library and put them in his bag of holding or whatever, so he'll probably deposit those wherever he would normally do that,
Deposit them where he would normally do that. What do you mean? Put them back to the library, or?
Stick them in the book depository and make somebody else filter through them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
The input section. It's here, read all of these, decide where they go.
Okay, fair enough. So what's next?
Well, assuming there isn't anything else to do, I suppose we could try and track down this Banefoot clan and see what they know.
Does anything seem off about the library other than the random song and dance?
So as you're going through this library and what exactly are you doing? Just looking for suspicious people or odd things going on? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm always looking for things that don't quite fit or don't belong, or just checking to make sure everything's on the level.
Roll a perception check real quick.
23.
The only thing that stands out as kind of suspicious to you still is that the door guard that spoke to Erevan seems to have wandered back into the library and is keeping eyes on all of you. And he doesn't seem to be singing and dancing along with everybody else.
Well, I'm curious about a king's advisor or assistant that checked out a book on Bander, possibly?
Okay. How do you go about investigating that?
Well, I mean, if it was checked out, they should have, you know, a record of who it was who checked it out, right?
You go to investigate that. I would imagine you would ask the front desk, and that'd be who you would think would have records of it. Thronebrook, who was the one that led you down to that section, he comes to answer to you, and he says, Cedric Blackthorn.
We know who that is.
I believe he's a noble. So sorry, what'd you say?
Do we know who that is?
Not specifically, no.
Okay.
He does work in the employ of the king. He had all his paperwork in order. We don't normally let people just walk down into the dark arts area, take books, and leave.
Did he say why he wanted it?
Well, he said he was looking for some information about Bainder before they sent their adventurers, which I suppose would have been you. I figured you would have gotten all that information, however.
It is interesting that we didn't know about that.
Yeah, I don't think we got that information.
Well, if I may say, I'm not entirely surprised to hear that.
Why is that?
Well, you know, the bureaucracy, the process. So sometimes, you know, things don't happen the way they should. So maybe that's all that was. I wouldn't get too suspicious. But yeah, he hasn't checked it back in yet. I was actually going to be inquiring about that. That's what I was doing just now.
I'd like to put a hold on that book. Make sure he returns it.
Yeah, it's a good idea. All right, well, is there anything else I can do for you fine folks and you, Sir Erevan?
Do you know where we can find any remaining members of the clan Banefoot?
Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a little while. No, I don't know too much about him, if I'm to be honest.
Can we do a deception check on this guy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like telling us, think nothing of this book and don't know about this clan that's part of my own town.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear.
16.
Yeah, as long as you can beat a one. Okay, so as you kind of eye him pretty specifically as you're trying to figure out if he's lying or being forthright, he says, look, yeah, okay, so I lost the book.
What does that mean?
Okay, I checked it out myself, and I had it at my home, and it went missing.
Or maybe it could have been stolen.
Well, I don't know who would steal that book, but yeah, maybe.
I mean, me neither, but it is an interesting coincidence that we come here looking for information, and the book, which may hold some of that information, is missing.
And why did you have it checked out?
Well, I heard some rumors that you were marching on Bainder, so I was trying, you know, I was just trying to see if I could find something myself.
What did you find?
Of it just doesn't make any sense anyway. Nothing of use, I suspect. Just, you know.
Considering that you work here and spend most of your day here, why did you feel it necessary to take it out of the library?
Roll a perception check, Maeve.
That is 23 again.
All right, you catch him looking at the guard just for a moment, though. Then he kind of looks away and looks off to the side, and he says, look, I don't really have a good explanation for a whole lot of this that's gone on, but I didn't want anybody here to see me looking through about Bainder and seeing. And he kind of like leans in a bit. He's like, look, I'm a Banefoot, okay? It's not exactly, it's not so good.
So perhaps you'd rather talk to us away from the library.
I can do that. I can help you. Like, leans back. I can meet with you and discuss some books later. Over some, how about some beers?
Yeah, let's get a drink. I'm sure you're happy to see your old friend Erevan here.
Yeah,
have
a nice little study session with some beers.
Yeah. All right, I better get back to, you know, putting out a hold on some books, yeah. And kind of nods and meanders back to his desk, his part of the desk anyways.
Would Erevan have noticed him looking over at the guard?
Possibly. You would have because you kind of know his mannerisms anyway, so.
Yeah.
I'll kind of mutter to him under my breath, too, and tell him what I've noticed about that guard and ask him who he is, how he knows him.
He's nobody, he's not exactly a friend or anything, just like an acquaintance, because, I mean, he's stationed here at the library, has been for as long as I can remember, you know?
What's his name?
Roland, yeah. I would tell that to Maeve.
Huh. Something is afoot here. Just saying.
Is that a pun? Maybe. I was just curious.
Seems like an unintentional pun, but yeah.
So moving forward, what's next?
Well, we have a beer meeting with this guy in a little bit, right? What do we want to do in the meantime?
I want to ask around about this guy before we meet with him privately, and also about the Roland guy, and check to make sure everything's all on the up and up and we're not about to be like ambushed or something.
Okay. Yeah, so you won't need to roll an investigation check on this. You've been rolling pretty high anyway. So he's going to meet you at the Midnight Hearth. That's the tavern's name. As you're just going around asking about him casually to people, most people are a little curious, especially if they're the librarians you're talking to or the sages that are working here, scholars and et cetera. They're a little curious what your interest is in the throne book. Do you have an answer for this?
I don't know. Give me a minute.
Ooh, maybe you thought he was hot.
He's so cute and so smart. Is he single? Do you know that are his mama and papa the type that would approve of me?
Okay. Girl next door, turning it on the charm.
All right.
If Peter's so proud right now.
If that's the route you're taking, is Maeve taking that route?
Hold on. What skill set does that require?
This would be a persuasion roll.
How about a deception?
Yeah, that actually makes more sense. Go ahead. I guess it didn't occur to me that you wouldn't think Thronebrook was super hot.
I mean, I am a half-orc, so my standards are a little skewed from what you might expect. But, so that's a 20... total.
All right. So other than his marital status and dating life, the information you're looking for about him would be what specifically you think? Like just if he's been around as long as he says, people seem to agree that he's been here for that long.
What's his people body also, count?
What's his body count?
Standing in his clan.
Does he seem to be a well-respected, you know, sage at the library? Or is he somebody that people seem to have, like, it's like they whisper behind his back kind of negative perception of him or something?
For a dwarf, he's quite humble, is the impression you get. He's, well-respected, but he's not seen as, like, he's pretty happy with where he is. He's not looking to become, like, a grand sage in this library and... or like an adventurer like Erebon is, where he's going and looking for information to bring back to the library to record events that have happened, etc. To some degree, these are almost, that's like a bardic position almost in this library. In any case, he doesn't date a whole lot so far as you can find out. He is quite engrossed in his work, and that seems to be his daily life. His the clan that he's with and represents would be the Ironwood clan, Thronebrook Ironwood. So you're not, no one seems to know that he has claimed to have been a Banefoot. Nobody seems to mention that.
What's his perfect Sunday?
It's perfect Sunday. Oh man. Probably like not losing a book that he's checked out from the library.
Okay.
That's his perfect Sunday.
Is that what the townsfolk say about him?
Oh, no, I'm just joking about that. No, so far as that goes, you don't hear that he's... No one even makes mention of him losing books or anything to that effect. They're kind of expected not to, seeing as they work at the library.
That would, you know, explain why he was kind of hush-hush about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does he seem tight with that Roland guy? It would be another thing that I'm curious about. Do they have, like, friendly relationship, or are they kind of at odds with
them? They're co-workers. They don't seem to have a relationship that other people are aware of. They don't like hang out after work or anything. They don't, I mean, they greet each other when they walk in. Like everyone that you're speaking to knows Roland. I mean, even Erebon knew him, although everyone else seems to know Roland by name and what he's up to usually. Erevon's the only person you know that seems aloof enough not to know the guy super well. Like, if that makes sense at all.
The less he knows about other people's affairs, the better.
Yeah, Erevan is a very focused sage, is the impression you get here.
So I'm also not getting the impression that anybody has glimpsed Roland and Thronbrook, either, like, seeming particularly chummy and whispery, or, like, any sort of a threatening interaction between them.
That's not what you're gleaning from anybody.
Do they seem to... like, I guess what I got from, and I can't think of his name, Throne, was that maybe he was fearful of the guard, or at least, right? Because that's what the perception was. Seemed like he was fearful of him, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Right, so...
I think at the very least he was concerned that the guard was, like, there and listening to everything that we were saying.
Right.
It is possible that if he loses a book, the guards might be involved. Okay. That is, something that would occur, but I don't think...
Does anybody else seem a little fearful of the guard, though?
You're not seeing anybody acting strange towards him. This is the first that you've seen anybody even glance at him in the manner that Thronbrook did.
And when we bring up his name, people don't immediately shut up?
No, people are... Well, in your case, people are like, well, which one are you interested in? I mean, Thronbrook or Roland, but...
I mean, I am so single, I don't think it matters.
Yeah. Why not both?
Yeah, they don't seem to be trying to shy you away from either avenue of pursuit.
Well, that wasn't very helpful.
Except that either he's not a Banefoot or he's hidden it from everyone.
He did say that was not a good situation, and that's when he got kind of flighty. So, all right, I guess I'm down to meet with him.
Okay. Is everybody else okay with just going to the tavern to wait for him? Or
sure.
Okay.
So at the Midnight Hearth, he shows up. And this is a fairly typical tavern. It's nothing out of the ordinary here. They have a theme here, which it seems kind of touristic because this is one of the first taverns in the city when you enter through the gates, which would make sense that he wants us as far away from the tower as possible to have this meeting. So, yeah, there's, like, books around in this tavern. A lot of the mugs and stuff have different symbolisms of the Grand Library. What's going on? Oh. Yeah, so he shows up and he says, all right, well, thanks for meeting me here. And he sits down and has a waitress get him an ale and everything. There's a bartender that fixes up anything you all might want. And he says, all right, look, I'm kind of sorry for deceiving you a little bit back in the tower. It's I'm in something of a bad situation right now. It's the damn curse. And he kind of like looks down. And he's like, I have a good thing going for me here at the tower, but I check out one book and I lose it immediately.
You think that's the curse hitting you?
Can I do an insight to see if that's actually the story like that he's sticking with? Like he checks out the book and he loses it. That's actually what he's sticking with and it is true.
Yeah, you don't need to make the roll on this. This seems to be pretty... He seems to be pretty honest about that. That he's like, look, if there's any way that could help me out, I suppose it would be you, Erevan. And all of you as well. I'm sure that you're great adventurers and you're a rabbit.
That's specious.
No. I mean, what I'm mostly curious about you, but I suppose that's not why we're meeting here.
He said something about rub his feet. He really likes that. Also, it's lucky.
Oh, really? I need all the luck I can get.
Peter winks.
Oh, no. I do not. So, I do not like where this is going.
What'd you say, Roxy?
I said, so bachelor number one, what would you say is your perfect Sunday?
Well, the perfect Sunday would involve you and
me. I was talking to the dwarf.
Oh.
He says, look, I was taken in to the Ironwood clan. So that's kind of how I got into the library in the first place. All right. There's not that many of us left, Banefoot, I mean.
So who is this rival clan?
Well, it was more like tribe, if it were. Elkwood.
The plot thickens.
This is interesting indeed.
It's like, look, there were dwarves that arrived in Elkwood with all the humans as well. That's why they fought the dragon together. It's a long story.
I do believe stories are our specialty.
Okay. He says, well, we're going to need a lot of beer.
Then a lot of beer we shall have.
Okay. So, yeah, that's, I don't know, let's fast forward a bit as he's explaining, like, a long history that's pretty irrelevant to the situation. I don't know how all of you have fared through a long dwarvish tale. How's, well, let's start with Alita. Hiccup? How's the rabbit doing through the long dwarvish tale?
Peter. Rabbit loves stories, man.
Oh, okay.
That's what he does.
Yeah, he is a bard.
And he's thinking of ways to retell the story, but better. Like, dwarves can't tell a story. But when he tells it next, it's going to have a lot more embellishment.
Okay. Well, I hope we get to read that soon. I'll leave it to you to write the whole story.
Good Lord.
No, it's gonna be listening to it, right? He sings the tale.
Well, it's spoken word. I do a little bit of everything.
Can you do it to the tune of I Know the Muffin Man?
Yeah.
How's Maeve doing? Is she coherent by the end of the tale?
Yeah. I mean, not only can she throw back her ale, but like she would be quite curious about what he has to say based on like her position in Elkwood, her relationship to like the nobles and stuff there, and like this is information that seems useful to her purposes too. So she's kind of engaged.
And I presume, Erevan, that you're good on hearing the story.
Yeah.
So the summary of it would simply be, as he described, when the first settlers moved into Elkwood, they were having issues with the Red Dragon, and they reached out to other dwarvish clans to help them take it out. And that's what the major fight was. They sent some of their strongest people, the strongest adventurers from several cities, or settlements, I should say, to go and face down the dragon in the mountain. And Banefoot, Baendur himself, was the only one to actually survive the fight, but he had claimed at the time that he was so devastated by the loss of all his friends that he was going to stay in the mountain and guard over their tombs. And at some point of doing that, the curse happened, and he fell into a loyalty to an evil god and became a mummy lord and turned against pretty much everything he had stood for. He tells a tale of loss for Baendur.
So were the Banefoots cursed before that, or they were cursed during his watch over the crypts?
He tells it that they were cursed before. They had a bad relationship with Elkwood itself, but they it was kind of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing, that the Banefoots even helped on this. But yeah, they were cursed long before that, so far as they can figure, or so far as Throne Book figures.
Okay, but he doesn't know what the curse was about, like why it happened.
His telling is that it was over jealousy. Like he says that the Banefoot clan had some of the largest mines in the region. They had the most gems, let's say. They marketed them. And this starts to sound a bit familiar, actually, to all of you, because that is what Baendur wants to build in that city, is like a place of commerce where he has control of all of the markets that go on there, the mining. So he basically talks about like having a monopoly situation going on.
So does it seem like Baendur escaped the curse by becoming a mummy, and now he's trying to do what he couldn't before?
If you ask Thronebrook this, his thoughts on it would be that he's trying to appease to an evil god to remove the curse and to regain what the clan once had. So the answer would be yes.
And where does Roland fit into all this?
If you ask Thronebrook all of this, or that, he was just like, no, he was just a bit close. Yeah, I didn't want him to hear our conversation.
Why was he watching us? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, that's his job, right?
It sort of feels like he was watching us specifically, though.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I mean, it's possible that you're all just, you know, it's just making sure that you aren't rummaging through the library and stealing stuff or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask him.
Yeah, like he'd just tell us, you know, oh yeah, I have a secret assignment to spy on you all.
Why would he be spying on any of you? What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, you know.
Paranoia,
if that was the kind of deal, you know.
I mean, Bainder has charmed people before.
Yeah.
Oh. And he, like, starts, like, petting at his beard and thinking. He says, you know, actually.
I mean.
Maybe Roland took the book.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say, is it's a possibility. Like, if he is actually spying on us, if he was charmed by Bainder, maybe he took the book.
What was so special about the book?
Well, like I said, I didn't really get into it yet. I kind of fell asleep.
And you're sure it's not just at your house somewhere?
I looked for every day that I could.
I mean,
I found it.
It would be pretty important for him to find the book because, you know, right. His job and all that.
Where does this Roland live?
Well, I actually don't know.
You know, I think for our second date, you should take me home and make me dinner at your place.
Peter pulls out a music book, you see, as you say that he borrowed from the library and just starts playing some tunes from it, some soft tune as you're saying this.
Basically, I'm saying I want to go to his place, and since I've already made a show of telling everybody that I'm interested in him, it shouldn't be too suspicious if I were to poke around, you know?
Is that what we're calling in?
Yes.
This should be interesting.
All right. Well, we're coming up on 10:30.
Have we bothered to tell the dwarf that this is the story that I'm pursuing him?
No.
Yeah, I was like waiting for his reaction to hearing that it was a second date.
Yeah, well, his reaction is what you may expect, which is kind of confused at first, and it's like, wait, I thought we're just talking about lost books.
Is that what we're calling it? I'll fill him in on what I've been doing, and you know, be like, with your permission, I'd like to go to your home and look around and see if I can find anything suspicious or out of order. Maybe help you find the book. By some chance, it's as simple as misplaced. But I don't want Roland or anyone else to be suspicious about why.
He agrees. He's like, look, yeah, we can go look for the book. I wouldn't mind your help, but I'm telling you, it's not there. And then after a few moments, he kind of blinks and he like looks at Peter and just like listens for a while.
He seems to have a way with the dwarves.
Dwarves love me. So he starts playing a song that tells a sad story about the fall of a dwarven clan after a feud with another one. And it sounds a lot like the Reigns of Castamere from the Game of Thrones thing.
Perfect wedding music.
Oh, no. All right, so you're gonna go to his house then, right?
Yeah.
So I'll say that searching through his house, you're not finding that book either. But do an investigation check.
I'm also looking for signs and symptoms of who might have taken it or what else might be disturbed.
Yep, that's what the investigation would be for.
So that's a 15 plus 5, so 20.
Okay. You do find, and we'll kind of end here, I suppose. You do find a bit of evidence at a window that it may have been forced open at some point.
Hiccup.
I was going to say something, but this is too funny. So that's all that I'm seeing, though, is just that the window's been tampered with. And if I were to ask, what's his face? I've already forgotten his name. Thronebrook. If anything else is missing?
He would say that nothing else is missing. It's just that book that went missing.
What are my initial impressions about his domicile?
That it's just a place to sleep, is what you gather. There's not a whole lot of furniture in it. It's most of his work is, as he said, done at the library. You don't see a whole lot of, it's actually quite of a small place that he has. So yeah, I mean, your impression is that he's just in his work and that's it. That's appears to be all he does.
Guess I'm on to bachelor number two.
All right. So yeah, I guess that's it for today. Is everybody okay with stopping there? Or
yep.
Yep. Thanks.
Any other thoughts anybody wants to investigate real quick or no?
Yeah, because I always take my my companions with me on my dates. I need a company. It's like going to the bathroom in packs.
Wow. So, like, all of you are in his house with him?
Just kidding. They can be if they want to be. I'll sneak them in.
We're just crammed in this tiny little...
Looking at a window? trying not to be suspicious and to fall into line. Like, that it's a date or whatever, that anybody that's walking by can see all of you staring out the window?
Hey, I took him with me to my date at the tavern. Why not?
Yeah.
I'll take him with me on my date with Roland, too.
Oh, okay. I'm the bachelor number two. That's what you meant.
Yeah. This one's a bust. He hasn't got anything good.